us pray.
Come, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us through these words now, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Flip Wilson was a famous comedian many years ago before he passed away, and one of the characters he played was the preacher at the What's Happening Now church. And one of the skits that he did went something like this. The preacher said to the congregation, "If this church is going to serve God, it's got to get out on its knees and learn to crawl." And the congregation got excited and they said, "Make it crawl, preacher, make it crawl." And he said, "If this church learns to crawl, then it has to get up on its feet and learn to walk. Make it walk, preacher, make it walk. And if this church learns how to walk, it has to get up on its, it has to learn then how to run. Make it run, preacher, make it run. And in order for it to run, this church has to dig deep in its pockets and learn to give. Make it crawl, preacher, make it crawl." You know, a lot of people don't come to church because they think all the church does is ask for money. And yet they're willing to go out and go to a cowboy game or go out to eat every week or go out to a movie or spend money on all sorts of things where people ask them to give their money. Certainly it's hard to make a commitment to a church, and it's especially hard to make a commitment to a liturgical church. A liturgical church is a church where we have written down forms of prayer like we use in our Sunday morning service. So it's hard for some people to commit to a church like that. Some people don't want to commit to a church unless it has a praise band up in the front leading worship. Some don't want to commit to a church unless they have a screen that they can look at when they come into the church. Some don't want to come to a church if it doesn't have padded pews. There are all sorts of reasons people don't want to come to church. Still others find it difficult to get used to all of the ritual and the costumes that we use in our divine drama that we have every week. Others don't like to come because they're afraid perhaps that nobody will speak to them, or maybe they won't be able to make friends. So there are all sorts of reasons for people not coming to church. But I'm thankful that you have overcome those obstacles, and those of you who are members and those who are on the way to membership, and as you've overcome those obstacles, you've said, "I want to make this my church. I want to commit myself to this church, and I want to commit myself to the people of this church." Many who make that commitment to this church realize that worship is really not about what they get out of it, but rather what they can give to God in terms of worship. They come to worship God and to show that they are willing to follow His commandment that we read about in Hebrews. It says that we have to forsake the assembly together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. Many commit themselves to the church because they like to be reminded every week about what Jesus Christ has done for us in His death and in His resurrection. And they like to be reminded about the fact that He established the Lord's Supper for us to receive as often as we can. Those who commit themselves to this church don't find it necessarily dull or boring, but rather they find that in the context of the liturgy, great truths sometimes come alive for them. Things that they know in their hearts and their minds, but all might have forgotten, really come alive as we go through the liturgy for many people. The liturgy is something that we do the same pretty much every week, and it's much like a comfortable robe that we have at home. It makes us feel like we're at home and that we can connect with God. The symbolism of the vestments, the candles, the altar, the other elements of the worship help many people connect with God in a spiritual way deeply. Those who love this church realize that our focus is not on the pastor and his sermon, but it's rather on Jesus, the cross, and the altar. Many have said to me that they want to come to a place where they feel like that they can get away from the norm. They want to come to a place where they can feel separated from the world. A place where it's not like an auditorium, not like a warehouse somewhere, but somewhere where they can come and really remind themselves that they are escaping for a while from the world around them. And they find that place here. Some commit themselves to this church because they like to be exposed to a lot of the Bible over a 3-year period through our lectionary. So they enjoy reading different parts of the Bible throughout the year, and they enjoy hearing messages related to those particular readings. They like also our biblical courses that we offer, things like the Alpha course or our Circle Prayer course or Christ Revealed or maybe our Tuesday or Sunday Bible studies or our men's Bible study or women's Bible study, whatever the case may be. Many like the fact that we place a lot of emphasis on the Bible in this church. Some commit themselves to this church because they want Bible preaching and teaching in the context of a liturgical service. Some of our services with music enjoy the powerful stories that are contained in the context of the hymns that we sing. Others enjoy the contemporary music that we have sometimes during communion. Some also enjoy the fact that we offer a service that doesn't have any music, so that perhaps they may have a little more contemplative and quieter type of worship experience, and they find that here. Some commit themselves to this church because they want to get involved in a ministry, and they find just the right ministry for them to get involved in. Some like to find a group in which they can connect with others in fellowship and be in bond with other people in the church. Still others like to maybe start a new ministry that the church is not offering, so that the church will have even more things to offer, not only its members, but the world around it. The ancient roots of the church are traced all the way back to the apostles and have an appeal to some as we worship in the same way that the church has worshiped for many centuries now, not only here, but also around the world. There's something sacred about worshiping in the communion of saints throughout time. And it's part of what we call Catholic worship. And when we use the word Catholic, we're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, but the word Catholic means universal. And so it's a word in which we are a part of a universal church that follows the apostolic faith in the context of a liturgical service and in the context of having the three orders of ministry that the church has recognized from its beginning, bishops, priests, and deacons. There is something special about realizing that we have a church that is connected not only to the apostles, but also a church that is connected to the Reformation. Along with the two different types of services we offer in English, our church is a church that views all people in our country as someone who deserves to hear the gospel. And so for that reason, we offer a service in Spanish for those who have not yet become proficient in English and who feel comfortable with a service that we offer in Spanish. And certainly as we offer that service in Spanish and English, we're one of the only churches, if not the only church in the diocese, that offers services both in Spanish and in English. The beauty of our Spanish service, of course, is that they have a little more lively music than we do, but they follow the same Anglican service that we do in our 8 and 10:30 services. They love the fact that many of them come from the Roman Catholic Church, and they are really enjoying the fact that now they're learning about our tradition. They're learning about the fact that not only do we have some of the Catholic trappings or Catholic elements of worship, but they're also learning about a lot of the freedom that we have in the Anglican Church. St. Anne's appeals to so many because we offer the best of both Protestant and Catholic aspects of worship and practice. But the church goes way beyond the outward trappings of worship and ministry. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to our second lesson from 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. That's on page 1778 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Paul is talking about a particular situation happening in the Corinthian church, and he's seeking to address to the people how to overcome this particular problem that they're having. And as Anglicans, we think that we know something about worshiping God, perhaps maybe more than other churches who have not yet discovered our way of worshiping. There was a scientist who was using an inductive method to observe the characteristics of a flea. And so he plucked off one of the legs of the flea, and he said to the flea, "Jump," and the flea jumped. Then he plucked off another leg, and he said to the flea, "Jump," and again the flea jumped. And he continued this process until he got to the very last leg of the flea. And by that time, the flea was trying to jump, but it just couldn't seem to get off the ground. And so the scientist plucked out the last leg of the flea, and he said, "Jump!" The flea just lay there. He said a little louder, "Jump!" The flea just kind of lay there motionless, not moving at all. He said it even louder, "Jump!" Still, nothing from the flea. It just laid there. And so he wrote his conclusions in his journal, and he put this down. He said, "When you remove the legs from a flea, it loses its sense of hearing." When we think about the church growing, we don't realize that many of the legs of the church have been taken off. And that's because of the secularization of our society. And some of that secularization has creeped into the church. And so when the church looks at, or the people of the world look at the church, they don't really see all that much of a difference between us and how they're living. They don't see that we're living much different than they are. They don't really see what the need for going to church might be. Sometimes we as Christians have not been as good of an influence on the world around us as perhaps we should have been. It used to be that all you had to do was say "jump" and the church would grow. All you had to do was open the doors of the church and people would come in. But that's no longer the case. And because that's no longer the case, we often look around at things to blame. Maybe we try to blame the music, or maybe we blame the type of service we have, or maybe we blame the fact we don't have padded pews. We can blame all sorts of things for the church not growing. But the reality is that there are so many things in this world that are causing people to not look to God any longer. And so it's up to us as a church to seek to find ways that we can reach out to people and bring them into the knowledge of what not only the church can offer to them, but what God can offer as well. It's tempting for us to think, well, we know how to worship God, and certainly we worship God better than other churches who are really seeking to entertain people or to build an empire for the pastor or to provide a feel-good experience. However, Paul warns us in verse 1 of our letter from 1 Corinthians, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know." We have to be careful that we think that we know everything there is about worshiping God. In fact, our way of worship is just one of the ways that a church can worship God. As we look at how other churches, denominations, traditions worship God, perhaps there are things that we can learn from them to enhance and make our worship even better. What Paul is saying here is that the most important thing is to realize that all Christian churches and denominations that are following the true gospel are seeking to worship in a way with which they feel comfortable. Our job as Anglicans is to try to love our brothers and sisters in other denominations and other churches so that we can build them up. And as we build them up, we're building up the body of Christ. We are to love God and love our neighbor. As Paul put it, this shows that we know God and are known by Him. One of the problems with the early church that they were having is that they were in a world where they had many different religions around them. And some of those religions were sacrificing animals, and they were giving the meat of those sacrifices to their members. And so this put Christians in a dilemma. Sometimes the Christians were invited over to the house of someone in one of these other religions, and they didn't know whether they were going to be eating meat that was offered to an idol or not. And they were forbidden as Christians to eat meat offered to idols. And so they were facing all sorts of dilemmas. Sometimes they couldn't help it, but be in a situation where they were maybe forced to eat meat. And so they didn't know what to do. And so many people who came to Christ also came out of these religions. And they didn't want to get back into it by getting involved in eating meat sacrificed to idols. They came out of a religion that perhaps said that there were many gods into a religion now that says there's only one God. Listen to how St. Paul put it in verse 4. "We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are many people who believe there are many gods and many lords, we know there is only one God, the Father from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." End quote. We should not think of ourselves as superior to others just because we know this, and not everybody else knows this. Other Christians believe that they should not do what they used to do when they were involved in perhaps their former religions. And we shouldn't make fun of them or try to force them to do things that they don't want to do. For example, the Jews who come to Christ feel uncomfortable worshiping on Sunday. And so we shouldn't force them to have to worship on a Sunday. We should encourage them to continue to worship Jesus on Saturday. We should not also look down at anyone perhaps who is a vegetarian. They feel like against their conscience they shouldn't eat meat. And so we shouldn't try to force them to eat meat or force them to not be vegetarians. If they want to, we should encourage them to do so. The main thing that we are to think about is this. Are we showing love to one another in the exercise of our freedom? Are we causing our brothers and sisters to stumble? For example, we as Anglicans believe that we have the freedom to drink alcohol in moderation. However, there are other Christians and other people maybe who are struggling with alcoholism who have a problem with that. And so there may be occasions where we might want to offer an alternative to alcohol. There might be an occasion where we might want to abstain altogether for the benefit of a brother or sister who might be struggling in this area. Ultimately, we are to examine our motivation for doing something. Are we doing it simply for our own pleasure or at the expense of the conscience of another? Or are we seeking to have our best interests, the other's best interests in mind? Are we motivated by love, by the love of Christ, or are we motivated by our freedom to be able to do something? I want to remind you of something St. Paul said a few verses later in 1 Corinthians 13. You don't need to turn there because I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said, quote, "If I am so spiritual that I speak in human or angelic languages and have not love, I am only making noises like a gong, banging of a gong or a clanging of a cymbal. If I hear directly from God and speak forth his word, and if I can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have more faith than anyone, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give a lot of money to the church, or if I think about giving a lot of money to the church, or to the needy, or if I give up myself to be a martyr, but do not have love, I gain nothing from God's perspective." Paul goes on then to define love. What he's saying is that we may worship in a way that we think is best. We may be a part of what we think is the best church. We may have a lot of programs. We may offer the best of both Protestant and Catholic traditions. But if we don't have love for one another, then it really amounts to nothing. And if we don't have love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and other churches that are following the Christian faith, certainly we're not gaining anything as well. We're just playing church. We're not really being the church. Sometimes love means making sacrifices for our brothers and sisters, not only in the church, but perhaps outside of the church as well. So let me conclude by asking a question. Do you want to make St. Anne's a great church? Well, it's very easy. You just need to do two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we recognize that that may be easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. But as we move along in doing those things, then we're going to become an even better church for those around us. This church is only going to be as strong as its members who are willing to grow and to mature in Christ. The church can only do greater things as its members are willing to work harder, to pray more fervently, and to give generously. So let me ask you a question. What are you willing to do to help make St. Anne's a greater church? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to worship in this special way that we do in this church. And yet, Lord, we recognize that we are a part of a larger body of Christ around the world, made up of Christians of all stripes and traditions. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to do what we can to serve you and to serve one another, that you would give us the grace to fulfill all of the ministries and roles that you called us to do, and that you would help us to become an even greater church by being willing to sacrifice, to pray more, to be willing to work harder, and to give generously for the spread of your kingdom. Lord, we ask that you would give us the grace that we need to not only make this a great church, not just because we want a great church, but so it will have an impact upon the world around us and be able to bring more people into faith in Christ. We ask this in his name.
Amen. Amen.